We just want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for dying on the cross for us. That's what I want to say. This morning we've got a fellow brother in here, Brother Dave Barnes, going to be taking the first service. Got something good to say. He told me the title of it. It's wonderful. And pay close attention to this because the denominational systems really don't have it together when it comes to this. And I'll be taking the second service probably about 11:05. So, Dave, come on up, brother.
Come on up. All right,
test 1, 2, God, great. Good morning.
Good morning.
No clapping necessary, thank you. You guys are pretty funny. It was an appropriate song we sang, Amazing Grace, for this lesson today. It was like, what a good match. We're talking about limitless, not limited, but limitless grace. And this is a concept that ruffles the feathers of a lot of folks in the religious system. We're going to get into it in detail today. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to teach. We thank you for the opportunity to learn. We ask that you open the hearts of those who are here today and those on the internet, that they can learn something and they can apply it to their lives, and most importantly, that they become saved when they understand the grace that God has given us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you've got the papers. I've killed a bunch more trees, as usual. That'll help you with it. The purpose of these is not just to be here in class and be able to follow when they talk about it. It's to take them home, share them with people. You know, you run into people all the time who go, what do you guys teach over there? What do you guys study over there? That little group, what's going on? Exactly. Do you not hear that? I've heard that. Irma tells people, yeah, we have a little Bible study. They want to know more. So it's opportunities to share. Even to just say, hey, here's one of our lessons. Read it. Take a look at it. Let them go from there. You know, not even sit there and preach at them. Just give it to them. Limitless grace. Let's take a look at our papers. Limitless grace. Do we believe it? Many church members sing about it. Amazing grace. We just sang about it. Yet live differently. They don't embrace it. They don't understand it. Can and does God forgive all who come? Yes, we know that. What do we do with sin in our lives after being saved? Are all of you guys perfect yet? No, I'm close, but I'm not there.
Okay.
All right. Does grace have limits? If it does have limits, how can it be grace? That's what we're going to talk about here. Some denominations object to the idea of grace as limitless. Most of them reject that. Because if grace is limitless, then they can't control you. If God has done everything for you, then what can they get you to do for the church? Think about that for a minute. That's the power play that happens. They argue that some people will go to hell and will not benefit from God's grace, assuming that everyone would go to heaven if grace had no limits. That's their argument. Well, grace has no limits. We have to choose to participate in it, but it has no limits. This is a wrong assumption. Let's look closer. If you put a gallon of water on a kitchen table and refuse to drink it, the gallon does not become less than a gallon, does it? No, it's still a gallon. God's grace is infinite. It does not become finite because man refuses it. God's grace is not a facet of his being that came into existence when man sinned. He has always been a God of grace. We're going to see some of that. Man's sin simply revealed that by giving him the opportunity to prove it. Just as Christ did not become sinless when he rested in the devil's temptations, resisted the devil's temptation, he proved that he is sinless and has been all along. Okay, it's understandable. Understand that. A lot of religion is focused on do this for me, do this for the church, do this and you'll be blessed, do this and you'll get repent and be baptized. I have a friend on the internet, all the way back, he lives in Arizona now. He's got a niece who believes she has to be baptized to be saved. And we've been talking on the internet with ideas you can share with her and go forward. Because people have been taught that. Those are traditions. Those are the wrong teachings. They get that from repent and be baptized in the first part of Acts because they haven't rightly divided the Bible. That's where it comes from. God's grace, I've got big bold letters. God's grace would be measureless, God's grace would be measureless if no one was saved. It's there anyway, okay? If all men everywhere refused his offer of salvation, the offer would still dominate the infinite generosity of God. It is what it is. To put it really simply, you do not have to work to get it. And we're going to study some verses on that. It is an offer of salvation to all that demonstrates the measureless nature of God's favor, not man's acceptance of the offer. God is infinite in his perfection, and in everything he does, He does everything perfectly and completely. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Well, if you believe that, how can you reject the finished work of Christ and add to it? How can you say salvation was okay, but the sanctification verse, the hard part? Remember that Sunday school class we were in? And it was a Grace Church. And this gentleman said, oh, salvation is the easy part. It's getting sanctified. Now that's the work. How's that? Okay? I spoke up, of course, and nobody really wanted to hear that, but...
It never came back when you were there.
Yes, and every time I came back to speak, because they invited me over a few more times, he was never there. I don't know, I might have spent them.
Quick one, Dave.
Yes.
I always look at it this way. We're calling God a liar if we say that we have to do more than we say.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, is it not complete? You follow me? Yes.
This is, you know, what you guys say, another thing is it's not limitless grace. If it's not limitless grace, we're all going to hell.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay.
There's no other way. It has to be limitless.
But religion tells
you... What did this guy say to you? That,
which one, me?
The one that spoke to you.
Oh, he said that salvation is the easy part, but being sanctified, being good, getting rid of the sin nature... Yeah, all those things, okay? Our position, Pastor does it every week. Our position is in heaven. Our practicality is we walk on the earth. But positionally, I'm in Christ. I'm in the body of Christ who is where? Seated at the right hand of God. Spiritually speaking, I'm already dead. We were talking about dying. This is a great conversation. We were talking about dying earlier in the kitchen back there. You know what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, we may have different takes on being asleep in Christ for a while, you follow me, before we get resurrected. So there may be a gap of time there. But you know what? It's like going to sleep. It's like going to sleep and you wake up. You don't know anything different. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Now that I've lost totally where I went on my page. Let's go toward the bottom there. This is why he does not and cannot save man conditionally. Grace is complete. There's no condition available. Don't tell that to a whole lot of religions. And some of the religions are based on condition entirely. As their own focus. Let's take a look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Let you guys do some reading there while I figure out where my paper is. This will help. I can mark down where I'm at. Anybody? Titus 3, 5 through 6.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Go ahead, that's it, yes, 5 and 6.
Oh, just 5
and
6?
Yeah, got it. Really lays it out, okay? Not by works of righteousness. Wait a minute. I gave money. I showed up. I ran the choir. I could lead singing here if you'd like. It wouldn't be very good, but I could do it. You know, get some mileage that way with God. The sad part is, that's what these people believe. Okay? Their performance is what drives them for sanctification, for pleasing God, as opposed to understanding the limitlessness of it. And in some religions, their performance is their salvation. In Catholicism, there is no salvation without performance. Without doing certain things, acting certain ways, participating in certain things over and over and over again. Look what it says, 6. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's where it gets to us. What he did becomes real for us when it goes through Jesus Christ. I've got written down, there's no room for earned righteousness of man. It is a gift of righteousness of God. These two, our righteousness, the way people try to do it, and his, cannot be equally compared or combined. You can't do it with your works. You can't do it with your righteousness. It is his finished work. And when we accept that, we are as righteous as God. But it is accepting the finished work of Christ that puts us there. It is not our efforts to get the job done. People go, what is faith? Faith is a belief and an acceptance, period. It's not something complex. It's like, I understand it. I see it. I accept that as my salvation. I accept that finished work as myself. I can claim it. It is part of my being now. I embrace it. That's what it is. Because some people go, what is faith? Faith, this faith. No, faith is an acceptance. It's saying, yeah, I understand that. I accept that God did this, and I want to be part of that process. I want to be there. And God did it for me, and I accept it. It's not complex. So make it complex and don't add works to it, because you're going to be falling short. There are millions and millions and millions of people that think they are saved, and they are not. Because the minute you put anything else into your salvation than the finished work of Christ, you have added to it. That is part of your salvation now in your mind. And guess what? You haven't accepted the finished work of Christ. You understood it. You follow me? But you didn't accept it because you're trying to do something. That's a very sad place to be. And that's where millions and millions of people are being taken down the wrong road. And you wonder why the people in those religious situations are full of angst. If you honestly get a chance to talk to them and talk about the relationship to God, they go to church every Sunday and there's still a gnawing in their soul. There's no peace. There's no completeness. There's a sense that something just isn't right, but I got to keep going, and I got to wear my best clothes, and I got to put the money in the offering, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Oh, I'll clean the church. I'll take care of them. You know, whatever it is. But if there's a gnawing sense, because there's a disconnect. When you fully understand the finished work of Christ, Barbara talks about finally getting it, reading Romans chapter 5. Beautiful stuff.
Yep.
Amazing.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Let me get back to the paper. Religion is intended to establish man's righteousness as the grounds for acceptance with God. That's what all religions do. All of them. Methodists, you know, it doesn't matter. Catholics, Lutherans. I'm just going to piss off everybody out there. The reality is, if you're a religious system, and believe it or not, a lot of Baptists, and boy, that's going to step on some toes here, a lot of Baptist churches are based on the same stuff. Nice little slightly the Baptist twist, but you're still having to perform to win favor with God. And if you have to do that, guess what? You're not in the right place.
And where you were here in Titus chapter 3, 9 through 11,
about
a man that says, but avoid foolish questions in the art of conventions and striving about the law.
Mm-hmm.
I follow the law. That's what I do. So they are unprofitable things. Man that is a heretic after the person, taking an admonition to reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. Do you want to stand in the law?
Yep.
Stand in it, buddy.
Yep.
Condemn you all day long. Tear you apart.
Yep. And that's exactly what happens. They create their own laws. They tie them back to the Ten Commandments. And they figure out some way to connect the dots to bring it forward in your religion. But you got to do this and this and this to win favor with God. Okay? If we had to do anything to win favor with God, grace means nothing. That's simple. Now, that doesn't mean that once we understand our position in Christ, we then give back that love and do the right things as much as we can, and whenever we can fix the situation or help somebody, because it's the right thing to do, and we're compelled to do it by the love of Christ. We're not compelled to do it to win favor with God or to get more blessings, okay? I am a blessed man, not because I perform or do anything or teach or do any of this stuff, because I'm in Christ.
Amen.
You know, and the blessings come to my door. Now, I may not benefit from some of those because I'm not home. I'm not paying attention. I'm not studying. I'm not focused in the right place. But it has nothing to do with God. He's always saying, Dave, you're a wonderful God. Here, take care of this. Do this for me. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it in a minute. You know, the reality is that happens in our lives. But it has nothing to do with that. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Because Paul brings this radical idea to the 12 and says, you know, hey, I want to teach you guys something. Because they didn't see this. They didn't understand it. And Paul becomes our minister then to the Gentiles. But here, let's take a look at some verses here.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, that Christ is dead in vain.
That means if righteousness comes by you performing in your church, by doing certain things to get righteous with God, by trying to get sanctified like this gentleman taught in the Sunday school class, if any of those things are in your existence, number one, you need to explore whether or not you're truly saved, whether or not you've actually accepted the finished work, or if you're trying to finish the work. Okay? You need to look at that. You do not want to frustrate the grace of God. Okay? It's as simple as that. You frustrate it by adding to it. You frustrate it by putting more into it. You frustrate it by trying to work my way to be... what did you say, the gentleman in Sunday school? Sanctified. Thanks. I am sanctified already in Christ. I'm as righteous as God in the body of Christ. How can you be in the body of Christ? I talk about the mechanics of salvation often to people. They go, yeah, I'm saved. Okay, what does that mean? It means Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Okay, that's great. It's a nice start. Now let's figure out what that means. The mechanics of salvation is this simple. When you put your faith, your acceptance, your belief in the finished work of Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you or puts you into the body of Christ. Do you think you can stand in the body of Christ and not be 100% sanctified? Think of your position. That's impossible. And because I'm in the body of Christ, God sees me through Jesus, through the body of Christ, and he sees what? He sees the perfect day. Now, Irma doesn't see the perfect day all the time. Okay, she gets an occasional not perfect day. But the point is, God sees me perfect. And what a place to be. What a place to enjoy life and have salvation. I'm working very closely with this new TV show we're doing, which is a very spiritual family. The gentleman is a minister. He has a church somewhere up in Molino or something. And we're going to be talking. And they've already got my book. And the mother and I have had some conversation. And guess what? They're open to understanding grace. They're open to understanding this because they went through a lot of hard times. They got kicked out of churches. Churches didn't like them. They've been through all this sort of thing. So it's a very interesting opportunity. God puts us in interesting places. And over time, I'm going to be able to share more. It's a wonderful thing. And that's what we do. We share. We don't go out and beat people up over Christianity or stand on the street corner screaming in cars. That's not going to do anything. But in our everyday life, we have opportunities. And that's what it's about. We don't frustrate that grace. If man could produce the righteousness on his own, God would have died for nothing. It is that simple. It is black and white. Christ died because man is completely helpless, unable to save himself. Think how cruel it would have been for God the Father to send his Son to Calvary if something less than his death could save us. You know? People who are in that situation, boy, you're really cruel. What do you mean? Well, if Jesus didn't do it, you have to do it. Why did he do it? Why did he die? Why did he come? Okay? God uses the cross of Calvary to demonstrate his love toward us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. This is actually one of my favorite verses. I have one in Romans, and this is my second one. This one will make me cry. Second Corinthians 5:19. Go ahead, Scott. You're looking around. It's your turn.
Okay. Huh? I don't want to hog it all. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
All right. Powerful stuff. It was God's Son, but to wit, that God was in Christ. Do you think God felt some pain? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But I know he's in Christ. I know he was personally involved in our salvation. All right? Not just sending his Son, but to wit, that God was in Christ. Now, do you think all of that effort is in vain so that we can now perform in some way or another or be baptized for the remission of our sins or many other things that the church has put people through? How very sad to steal the joy of the finished work of Christ by adding things to it. Okay? That's why. How much more intimate can it be that God was in Christ reconciling the world? It's as intimate as it gets. So what is our response? It is just as personal and intimate. It's not a performance. It's my own heart acceptance. It's my own belief. I meet God on the most intimate level possible, my belief. Just like he did the most intimate thing possible, actually being in Christ on the cross. That's the match today. We get to participate because we accept what he did. Okay? Very, very close. Very, very intimate. Even religious men and denominations I have written down here ridicule the cross of Christ when it's presented to them as all that is necessary for salvation. They don't want to hear that. I've been kicked out of churches. And you know that. You've heard the stories. Because the pastor told me, if you preach that downstairs in the adult Sunday school class, my people will live like hell. I can't combat that when they come upstairs to. This is an evangelical preacher in Brit Isle. And that was the message. He came to my office and said, you can't teach anymore. I started out of Sunday school. I was very young. I mean, like 19, okay? 20 years old, then a kid. I started out this class with about 4 people in the class. And about 4 or 5 months in, we had 25, 30, 40 people every day showing up. Because for once, they were beginning to understand their Bible. Simple as that. And I was told I couldn't do it anymore. I had to stop. You know, how sad. Control. It was all about control. and I was stepping on the wrong feet. I've got italics down here now, and I italicize something you need to pay attention to, okay? The paper here. Man rejects God's grace because it destroys his pride. Man brings nothing to Calvary. Salvation is there, but the salvation is wholly of God. Man has nothing to do with it, and grace is the proof of this. Grace is the hard part of salvation, what God has already done. Faith is the easy part. That's what we do. When we believe Christ died for our sins, I do the only thing that I can do without doing anything. You follow me? It's the only thing I can do without doing anything, and that's just belief. We need to accept the finished work and nothing more. Alright? You get a chance to share these papers with your friends, get them to see that. Get them to get rid of the angst that's in their soul, that uncomfortableness, that unnaturalness that they're feeling, even though they go to church every week. Irma went to church every week. Every week. And she did a lot. And she went to a variety of churches, am I right? She tried them all. Some of you have, you know. You've moved around. And you know what? You're here because you didn't settle. You didn't settle for that angst. You didn't settle, oh, okay, this is good enough. I guess this is all it is. You said, no, there must be more. There's got to be something else here. Let me keep seeking it. Let me keep seeking it. Let me keep seeking it. And then we're all here today. Because the peace that passes all understanding, we enjoy. If you're in the body of Christ, if you've accepted the finished work of Christ, you have a wonderful life. I mean, it doesn't get any better. And yes, we have difficult times and this and this happens and whatever. But God is in charge of it. And we know that. And sometimes it's difficult to go through problems. It's difficult to recognize that God's in charge of it when you go through the problems. And if you're a guy, it's doubly difficult because you're going to solve all the problems. You don't need God. You don't need anybody. I'm going to handle this. Okay? That's what guys do. But you know what? No matter what happens to you, in my business, in my personal life, in my relationships and time, God's in charge of it. There's a bigger picture. We have to be comfortable with that. We see it. We see it all the time. I do. I see it many, many times. Right? I was sure the end of the world was here. And it wasn't. And no, it was here now. But it wasn't. Oh, and you know what? It's right here. I know it is. But it wasn't. Okay? We serve a wonderful God because he's put us in the body of Christ. Yes?
Well, yesterday when he was in his training, and this is the guy that was there. And I told him, I said, hey, you know, he was talking about how his life was up and down, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And I told him, I said, you tried Christ, right? And he said, well, you know, that's not for me, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, so you saying that, and I gave him an example, so you saying that your father and your mother who birthed you is not your father and your mother. You kind of like just push them off to the side and say, I'm going to do my own thing. I said, Christ was already, you know, he was the creator of all man. So for you to say that that's not me, mm-hmm. somebody told you or taught you something that made you believe that you're your own person.
Yeah. Well, if they teach him that religion's just a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, the liberal process.
It's tied to an institution, right, yeah. rather than a relationship.
And you know what? Religion is a joke. Religion will send you to hell. Because religion doesn't get it. And acceptance of the finished work of Christ, understanding your position in grace, and the dispensation of grace where we are today, that's the answer. It's not religion.
Right.
You know, because religion, oh my God, that's man-made. And it's about man, and it's about man's ego, and it's about me being better than you, and me doing this, and you're not, and oh, the judgments are amazing. Okay? The judgments are amazing. It's really sad. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. I'll read this one. And if by grace... then it is not more. Then there's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Well, that's simple, isn't it? But if it be of works, then it's not no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more work. You can't combine the two, and I can't read very well, but those are the points. You can't combine the two. It's either grace or works. Was it works before Christ came to the world? Was it works when Christ was on the earth trying to set up a kingdom for the Jewish nation? Absolutely. There were all sorts of things they had to do. Yeah. And now, Paul has explained to us, and he's the only one, you cannot find a salvation by faith in the finished work of Christ in anywhere other than the Pauline epistles. It doesn't exist. It can be alluded to a little bit, but it does not exist. Paul got the message. He's our apostle today. And he was shown that this finished work of Christ on the cross allows us to participate in that finished work. What a revolution. What a revelation. And then a revolution. Okay? And then he goes to Galatians and tries to explain it to the 12. And they go, okay, Paul, I get it. Okay, you go to the Gentiles. We'll take care of this here. Okay? It was radical, folks. We're talking radical understanding here. We're not talking about religion. Religion is confused. When you put Matthew, Mark, Luke in the picture, we can learn a great deal about God and Jesus. But you know what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is he asking for? What is the prayer he tells him to pray? They were going to set up the kingdom. That's what he was here to do. Jesus showed up and he went to Jerusalem. And if they all got their act together, he would have set up a kingdom on earth. But they didn't. God knew they wouldn't ahead of time. But he had to make the offer. Because he had promised too. Way back in the day when they pulled him out of the wilderness, they made promises to him. They had to give those opportunities. And when Israel rejected him, it was only after that rejection. And even the first part of Acts, here's Peter going, "The old men of Israel, repent, be baptized, the times of refreshing will come." He's still trying to set up the kingdom. It's not until the Apostle Paul is shown that that salvation was on the cross. And it would never have happened if Satan, if it was shown in the Bible, in the Old Testament, clearly, it would never have happened because Satan would never have killed Christ. He was never going to open this up to the world. Are you kidding? I'm sure when Christ died, he was like, "I stopped the kingdom. Woohoo! It was party time." And then when Paul revealed the dispensation of grace, it was like, "Oh, we had it. This is not good." And then religion got in the way, and people lost all that. Follow me? That's what we're at today. Very important. Nothing can be plainer than this I have written down. Grace and works as a means of approaching God are mutually exclusive. That's it. Can't fix them. If I approach God on the grounds of my works, grace is out of the picture. When I approach God on the grounds of his grace, then works and no longer can be found. I cannot mix these two because he does not. Let's look at this even closer. Now, I need somebody to read a number of verses here. Who's got a good verse? This is Romans chapter 3, 20 through 28. There's a lot in here we're going to talk about.
"Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets."
Stop for a second. Folks, we know this in here already. People in the internet world may not. Whenever you see "but now," things have changed. You got to pay attention because this is the way it is now. Go ahead.
"Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law."
Wow. Apparently you do a great job reading this stuff. Thank you. Very nice. 22. If you've got any Bible other than the King James Version, they're going to change this verse. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." They're going to say by your faith or the faith, your faith in Jesus Christ. They're going to change the words. It was the faithfulness of Christ that allowed this to happen. Okay? And if you don't have a King James Bible, they've changed it. So you don't understand how important that is. It was God, it was Jesus' faithfulness to carry out. Was he not tempted? Was he not, tempted that Satan said, "I'll give you everything if you just, you don't"? He said, "No, I'm going through this." Okay? Did he like it? No, he sweat blood. Okay? It was painful. It was a process. He knew it was going to be tough. But his faithfulness to carry that out gives us the access to God now. Not our faith in him, but his faithfulness. Let's understand that. The emphasis goes to Jesus. He's the one who did it, not me. Okay, let's understand that. Going down, verse 25. "To be a propitiation through the faith in his blood." Propitiation means as if it never happened. Not just balancing the books, as if the debt never happened. Scott's doing his little thing there.
I consider more a satisfactory payment.
It's an accounting term, actually. Yeah. And it goes both ways. But the point is, it's totally covered. Covered, done, as if it didn't exist. That's the important thing to understand. My sin doesn't exist because I've accepted the finished work of Christ. Guess what? Christ reconciled the world. Sin is no longer a problem. It's whether you choose to participate in it. That's what it comes down to. You follow me? The activity's been finished. All right?
you know, there's some words you said at the beginning, and they just keep roaming through my mind over and over and over again. It's either a choice of one or the other. You either believe in the finished work of Christ, and then you said, or you feel like you have to finish
the work of Christ.
That was really a great statement.
But that's what happens. That's what people's heads are in. They got to help Jesus. They got to help their salvation by doing this and this and this and this. Okay? They even got to help to get blessed. How many people have been in religious systems where they said, if you do this, you'll be blessed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's moaning. That's the focus. Do this and you'll get blessed. The reality is, we are blessed. We do it because we are blessed. You know, I've used this example many times. Do you want your kids to keep their room neat and tidy because if they don't, you're going to pound them? Or do you want them to do it out of respect for what you've given them? See the motive change? We do things because of what God's already done for us. I'm at peace with my Creator. People ask me that question. In the film business especially, because the film business is notorious for all sorts of scoundrels. In fact, my client went through that. They wasted $80,000 with some other people. Okay? And when we came into the picture, they were like, you'll do this, and you'll do this, you'll take care of this. I said, yeah. And they said, why? Because it's the right thing to do. This is the way you solve it. You know what I mean? This is how you move forward. That's where we come from. That's where I live my life. Do I always do it perfect? Ask Irma. Of course I do. It's as simple as that. Thank you. Thank you, baby. Okay, I'll buy you a nice thing. The reality is we try and we focus in the right place. You follow me? That's what it's all about. Verse 27. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. As much as I joke around about it, I have no belief in myself being better than anybody in this room. In fact, probably lower than most. Okay? No doubt. Where is the boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. By the law of faith. Except for the things. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How clear can it be? How can they get this confused? You know why? Because they don't want to teach this. They don't want to teach. They'll take one or two verses, do 20 minutes on it, and do some way to twist it into you doing something for the church so that you can get blessed. That's religion, folks. That's the reality of religion. We're not religion here. We're faith. Okay? We are a higher calling. It's a higher calling to understand what we know. You have to get your ego out of the way. It's difficult for some people. It was difficult for some of us. Were you up there? Oh, really? It's like that? Really, really, really? We had to study. Irma wrestled with it. Oh, my God. For what? 2-3 years? 2 years. Every time we go come home from church, or we come home from a conference, and I see the hands back, I'll do my best. We came home from the conference. Hi. You know, she would say, That can't be right. And I just smile and keep sharing things. I was very loving. I was very nice. And then once jumped on you or got mad. And it took her a few years. And finally she went, I got it. Yep. You know, it was fine and crystal clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I'll read it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Let's see. For by salvation are you done through works. What does that say? Oh. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works. Boy, I mean, how clear can it get? Lest any man should boast. It's as simple as that. We've all heard that verse a million times. But the reality is, it's not of works. You have no space for works. It is a gift. It is limitless grace that lets us to enjoy our relationship with God. Nothing else. And yes, the guy who just went out and killed people, a child molester, you name it, I don't care what the sin is, God can handle it. And if he truly comes to the finished work of Christ and says, I accept it, guess what? He's covered. No sin is different than in God's eyes, okay? It's the reality of it, okay? The law was a system of limits. When man broke the law, he died. The soul of the sinner shall die. When the Jews committed adultery, the law demanded their death. Grace, on the other hand, I have written bold there, is not a system of limits. Grace did not overlook sin, but dealt with it fully and finished the cross. It doesn't overlook sin, but it completely handles it. The grace is what does it. Their grace satisfied the demands of the law in its entirety. For those condemned by the law, because they were under the law, it broke it. And those condemned, I got to learn how to read here, because they were shut out by it and lawless. Galatians chapter 3, let's read these verses here to see where the people were. Galatians chapter 3, 24 through 29. If you're in a religious system, as we read these verses, this is where you're living. This is the control that's over you. Understand it is wrong. Understand it doesn't exist in the dispensation of grace. Somebody read these.
Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Stop right there. Are you there? That's how you learn about it. That's how we learn about our place. Okay? That's what the law was necessary, to set up and realize that man was sinful. When Adam and Eve participated in the tree of life and everything changed in the garden, man was sinful at that point. And the law was set up to show that. Continue on.
But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Let me stop.
No, keep going. 26.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Are you there? You need to ask yourself that. Am I a child of God through the faithfulness of what Christ did? Am I participating in that finished work? I don't know why I keep doing this. I got nothing on the board over here, but it should be a thing. You know, why is that? Are you there? Are you in the body of Christ by your acceptance and belief? Period. If you're not, you need to explore that with yourself today. You need to make sure you get there. You need to begin to understand it more if you need to. You want to talk to me afterwards or somebody on the internet, get a hold of me, I'll discuss it with you. The point is, you've got to have that faith in the finished work of Christ. Acceptance, call it whatever you want. Belief. And then you participate in it. Okay? Understanding the law helps us see and appreciate God. This standard is what God expects and the measure for each of us. However, it is a perfect standard and we cannot meet it, and that's where grace abounds. That perfection has to be there. Yeah, I put these notes on this stuff in the morning when I reread them, and I can't read my notes. I need to make cleaner notes. At any rate, that's the point. Grace is bigger than the law. Grace is bigger than anything you can ever want to do to please God. Period. Bigger. Done. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. I won't interrupt you. Let's go ahead and read those because we're running out of time here. Anybody? 20 and 21.
Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned into death. Even so, my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Grace did abound much more. The contrast is constantly laid out there, okay? Let's go down to the second paragraph in the next page. One of the problems that Christians have in appreciating the measureless grace, nature of grace, is from thinking of everything in terms of quantity, not quality. Alright? Quantity is the performance thing. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this and this, and I'll keep getting that thing up there, and eventually I'll get to the top, and God will love me. Quality is, He does already. You can read all this in detail a little bit later if you want. Man's down a little bit further. Man's sin can never diminish God's grace. Okay? Many have taught that man can push God too far, and in doing so, put themselves out of the reach for grace. Have we heard that? Oh, they're backslidden. They must not have been saved. All sorts of stuff. Man, everybody's familiar with that. Think about this important truth. Can you sin enough and have God turn on you? Can your sinful nature be so evil as to lose your salvation? If any of these were true, then grace would not exist. It can't exist at that point. So yes, do I do stupid things? Yes. Have I walked away from God and been way over here where God's here? Absolutely. I've got the t-shirts. The drawer is full of them. Okay? But you know what? God's right here. And I got to find them according to the hand back there. God's right here. Yes, the hand. And wait a minute. Thanks, church. I like you too. The reality is, God has never left me. Once I accept the finished work of Christ, I can walk the other direction and not pay attention to God all I want. But when I turn around, He goes, "Hey, Dave, how you been?" "Oh, I'm just fine, thanks. Don't look at what I was doing if you would be okay." You know, the reality is He's never left me. And He can't, and He won't. Because He has limitless grace. Okay? There's no definition into it. I can't do something that's going to kick me out of the club. If I've accepted truly the finished work of Christ, I'm crossed.
Exactly.
I've got it. I'm there. That's the reality. Galatians chapter 2, I'll read it, verse 17 through 20. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Okay, that doesn't fit. Because, what? We don't have sin. God sees us perfected. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For if I to the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. This is how it happens. Remember, folks, we talked about being the body of Christ. This is the home run here. This is how the process works. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? By me? No. The faith of the Son of God. Where is the emphasis put? Who did the work? He did. Okay? Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the bottom line. That's the reality. Okay? God loves all men, and Christ died for all men. It is easy for God to save the worst of sinners today as it is for the best of them, because the Son of God took the judgment for both to the cross. Everyone is covered. There are no limits to God's grace. I'm living where and when. If I am living when and where grace is being exercised, God's salvation, full and free, is available to me as well as to any other sinner whom Christ died for. Everybody, if you're out there on the internet and you want to be saved, accept the finished work of Christ. Accept, believe that Christ dying on the cross takes care of your sins. Then you can learn. God would have all men be saved, and then to come to the knowledge of the truth. It starts with that salvation. Accept that finished work, be saved, and then you can learn. If you aren't saved, reading the Bible is just difficult. You read it, you don't quite get it. It's difficult. There are no limits to God's grace. If I am living, oh, I just said that, sorry. Now is the day of salvation. If I died without Christ, am I beyond the reach of salvation? Yes, you died without Christ. But grace died, did not fail. Grace does not fall short. Okay? We are to live victorious each day in God's grace and peace. Romans chapter 5, Irma, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand. Let's read that again. By whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. You believe, you're in grace. Done. Completed. And then you get what? Peace. Wow. That's amazing. And rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Don't let Satan rob you by telling you you've got to do something to win favor of God. You've got to clean up your act. You've got to do this. You've got to do that in order to be good enough for God. Forget it. Come as you are. There's a song in the 90s, isn't it? Come as you are. Yeah. Come. That's what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants your acceptance and your faith. He does not want your perfectly clean body to do everything the right way. He's not interested in that. He's interested in accepting, you accepting his finished work and being saved, not by working for it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can study this stuff, but more importantly, that there may be somebody out there who hears this and is finally connecting the dots to understand their salvation is free, it's by grace, and you don't work for it. You don't work to get into this club. You accept the finished work of Christ. He did it all. All we have to do is accept it and make it true to us. We ask to give each of us the opportunity to share the love of Christ with somebody this week. And if they want to know more, give us the words to share the love of Christ in a way that they might become saved as well. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Take a break. We'll come back at 11:05.